Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Christine Williams.
You're listening to the midweek version of the Fiber Talk podcast that goes on twice weekly for people who make fine art with needle and thread.
Yes.
We're going to go with that for a while, but I have a feeling there's going to be a day where we're going to go back to stabbing. Yeah.
I'm also in favor of that. I think it really, I love the dichotomy of it. You know, it depends on what mood you're in. You know, it really, you know, what your dog has done that day, like run for a half a mile through a new neighborhood, and then you have to chase them in bare feet. Not that that has happened to me in the last 24 hours. Moving on. We're not going to stab things. We're going to make fine art.
Okay. That's what it is. Highbrow. Highbrow. All right. So if you have listened to the Sunday podcast that went out last Friday, you already know. But if you haven't, you need to listen, because we are working with Nicola Parkman and the Hands Across the Sea Sampler Group and Kim Young at Sassy Jacks in North Carolina to promote this new, this new Sarah Brazier 1829 sampler that Nicola introduced last Friday on the 20th.
Right, in honor of the upcoming royal wedding.
Yes, yes. And she's calling it Sarah Brazier, the 2018 Queen of the May. So a whole May Day thing in there, yes, with the royal wedding. And wow, what a sampler, too. Big, big sampler.
It's gigantic, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The if you do 40-count linen and leave 3 inches on a side for framing, the width of your linen is 30 inches. So
yeah, it almost becomes an issue of where do you put it?
Oh, I think I have a spot.
Do you?
I do, yes. I think I do. Yep. It's a big, big, beautiful thing, yeah.
It is. But you know what I love about it, though? There's so much thoughtful symbolism in it. So, and that was one of the things I liked talking to Nicola about most, was the idea that this was the royal wood and all of the different symbols that took place there. Because, you know, throughout English history, especially in botanical things, there's so many different, you know, all the flowers mean something. The animals mean something. So, you know, for me, that's the exciting part, because I really like all of those things. So I think that's going to be fun. And the project we're going to do is going to be even better.
Yes. Yeah. No, and this one, yeah, this really engaged you with all the botanicals, the UK, England botanicals. Yes. Mm-hmm. Right up your alley.
Mm-hmm. It is. It is.
Yep. So we have that. And if you listen to the thing, and if you're connected at all on Facebook, Nicola has posted everywhere about this. Now, it's a limited edition chart. Okay, so it, like the one she did at Christmas, this is limited edition. So it's available May 1st, because it's the Queen of the May. It's tied in with May Day. So it's available May 1st, and of course, dedicated, as Christine said, to the royal wedding. And, but shops, I think most of the shops who are carrying it have them now. So you can pre-order, you can pre-order. And, was talking with, Kim Young this morning about how she's handling it. You can pre-order and then she will ship them and try to time it such that you receive it on May 1st.
Right. And fair warning, with any of the limited editions, they sell out quickly. They have in the past. So, you know, a lot of times you think, oh, okay, it's limited edition. You know, that's nice and that makes it valuable. No, that means you get it now or you're not going to get it. And right. I sound like a commercial, but it's true. I only say that because there have been a few that have, you know, gone past, and I thought, oh yeah, I'll get that at some time, and then it's not an option anymore. So if you like it, pick it up now. You can always kit it later.
And needlepoint people, before you tune out, we have some needlepoint things for you on the second half of this show, so don't go away on us. But limited edition. Now, she printed more this time than she did for the Ufendel sisters at Christmas, because those were gone like pronto. And so she printed more, but it's still a limited edition. So when they're gone, they're gone. And Nicola, you know, people encouraged her to do second rounds of these limited edition ones. And she's, no, it's done. One mm-hmm. shot. So, yeah, so order it. Now, and yeah, Kim Young will get that for you and ship it to you. So you can pre-order with Sassy Jacks. I'm sure that's the same case with the Attic. I'm sure it is with any of the local needlework stores that carry the Hands Across the Sea samplers, that they'll all work it out somehow. But you can't get it before May 1st.
Right,
so,
right.
Yes, and it's a big... And the thing is, it's Kim's price is $42 for the thing, and you think, wow, that's a lot for a sampler, but for a sampler chart, but it's 40 plus pages, and the let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 solid pages of history that is fascinating reading, really mm-hmm. really interesting things, and then the part I was having the most fun with. Is at the bottom of each page, Nicola has put a paragraph about the various kings and queens throughout British history.
Well, that's cool.
And very cool. And so one thing I learned in here, and of course you'd think I would, as part of my planning, would mark the page so I could turn right to it. You know, because a professional would have this all marked out and ready to go, but not me.
No.
So I did not know about Lady Jane Grey, the 9-day queen.
Yes.
You knew about that, of course.
Refresh my memory.
Well, she was a queen from July 10 to 19 in 1553.
And which of the kings was she? Was she one of Henry's?
It says here the powerful Duke of Northumberland persuaded the sickly Edward VI, who preceded her,
Edward,
to name Jay as his heir just before his death. As one of Henry VIII's great nieces, Jane Grey was a genuine claimant to the throne. Northumberland then married his own son, Lord Guilford Dudley, to Jane. On the death of Edward, Jane assumed the throne, and her claim was recognized by the council in London. Despite this, the country rallied to Mary, Catherine of Aragon's daughter, and a devout Roman Catholic. Jane was deposed 9 days later and executed a year later with her husband.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, that whole era. So if you like that era of history, it's really interesting. The whole Henry, his whole, well, he was a pretty interesting guy. And then his two daughters, Mary and Elizabeth, also. And Mary and Elizabeth, I think, between the two of them, had so much influence on English history. Just tremendous, you know, between the changing of the church back and forth between Catholicism and what became Church of England. And then at that time, that was right around the time that a lot of the stitching that we now know became popular. So you had a couple of things going on. That was when black work really became a thing during the reign of Elizabeth I. So you start seeing that in clothing especially. And then right around that time, that was when English gardens became something, because before that it was just mostly functional land. And around that era, that was when the first gardening books started to be published. And so the whole idea of an English garden that was planted solely for the purpose of, you know, of pleasure, that was starting to become popular at that time. Not among lower classes, obviously, but among the aristocracy. And so you started getting these, you know, beautiful planned gardens and things like that. So you can find a lot of interesting things about that right starting around that time. And of course, then that is right around the era of Shakespeare as well, getting into the late 1500s, early 1600s. So, yeah, that's one of my favorite time periods. And as far as textile arts, it's very interesting. So, yeah, that's pretty good.
Yep. So little tidbits all the way through this thing. Really, yeah, fascinating reading. Learning a lot here because I don't know a whole lot about all that. So.
Yes, and we should mention that there is other reason to purchase the chart, because we're going to do something that we're not going to talk about yet.
We're going to go ahead.
Well, I'm going to leave it to you, but it's worth getting a chart so you can join us.
Yes, for a stitch-along. We are joining Sassy Jacks and Kim Young at Sassy Jacks to do a stitch-along for the Sarah Brazier sampler. Pretty excited about this.
Yes.
So we'll be starting the stitch-along on the 6th. Kim will join us for the June 6th, not May 6th, but June 6th midweek show. That'll give everybody a chance to get their materials together. Kim will join us, and we'll talk about our stitch-along and talk about the sampler, and hopefully we'll have our act together and at least have the first stitch in by then. And so we're going to do a stitch-along, and we've got plans for some prizes, and we'll have a Facebook group for the stitch-along so people can post their progress and discuss it and get help if you need it. And Kim is working up some prizes. We're talking about having, I got a feeling we can get Nicola to join us a couple of times to give a little more history.
Perhaps.
I think if we twist her arm, she'll do that. So we'll have her join us throughout. So we'll have regular updates in our midweek shows on this stitch-along and have Kim join us. And then I'm thinking about it might be fun to get a couple of the stitch-along participants to join us here and there.
That would be fun. And as we were talking, I was thinking that, and it might be nice to get the person who stitched the model as well.
Oh, yes.
From Hands Across the Sea. To talk about their experience stitching it and maybe give some tips and little hints along the way. That might be fun, too. And one of the things that you and I had talked about was if we're both going to stitch the same piece, that's fine, but it would be fun to stitch it differently. And with a reproduction sampler, it's tough to do because the whole idea of it is to stitch it exactly the way it was done and the way it's prescribed in the chart. So we were talking about how it would be fun to sort of change it up a little bit and how to do that. And at the time, we both kind of said, well, I don't know how to do that. Because we couldn't think of a way to do it that wouldn't be weird, right? To do a needlepoint piece differently, you just do it in a different color way. Or, you know, there's lots of different ways to change those. But within the confines of a sampler, to change it and remain true to the sampler sort of aesthetic to a point, you know, without making it strange or aesthetically unappealing, but to make it different would be I think interesting. And so far at the time, the only thing we had thought about was, okay, one person does it in cotton, one person does it in silk. We could do that. Changing the ground cloth would be one way, changing the size. But I have an idea based on a conversation we had with an embroiderer recently about changing changing threads in embroidery, much the same way that we use all the different threads in needlepoint. So I have a couple of ideas percolating in my head on how to do that, and I may change my mind because it may be a terrible idea, or I may do it anyway and it may still be a terrible idea. but I won't know until I do it. But I have an idea. So
I think I know where you're going. This could be fun. Okay.
I don't know if I'm ready to talk about it yet, because I think I want to mull it over a tiny bit more and see how out there I want to get with this. Because the other thing is that you're limited, again, by the size. If this was a piece that was 12 by 12, you could use lots of different fibers because you could stitch it on, instead of 40 count, you could stitch it on, you know, 18 count. And then you could, you know, open yourself up to a tremendous number of different types of fibers. But on 40 count linen, you know, you're pretty much limited just because there's only so many different types of things that are going to fit, right? Mm-hmm. So I've got an idea.
Okay.
I've got an idea.
This could be a fun ride here. Okay.
So, you know, I don't know which one of us is going to stitch it true and which one is going to stitch it the different way. I have, between the two of us, I have no idea which one of us would choose to stitch it wrong.
Yeah, I don't know who that would be either. No, no. We may have to flip for it because it's a toss-up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And I Googled to see if anybody had ever done this before, and I couldn't find a single reference to it being done. So that doesn't mean it hasn't been done. it could also just mean that it's a terrible idea. So we'll see.
All right. So that'll be interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. So, okay. So Stitch Along. Yes. Oh, I like your idea. The person who stitched the model had not encountered and not thought of that. That's excellent. We got to get that lined up for sure. That'd be good. So you can, I'm sure, the attic, I'm sure that, anybody who carries this will have kits available. Kim Young at Sassy Jacks, has already put together kits for the sampler, a Veriswas silk, it's 38 skeins of thread for these. So she's got, kits together for that and for DMC and then several linen options, 40 count, 36 and 32. I think I'm going to try and find a lighter colored linen than is called for sure. I want to see what it looks like when the ground cloth is a little closer to white. So
yeah. I like that idea. Yeah.
So you can contact your favorite local needlework store and or Sassy Jacks, of course. Kim is all lined up to go and pre-order that thing and pre-order your kit. And then Kim will make sure that you have it on the 1st of May ready to go. And you see, the only thing for me is I got to hope that I ordered my crossbars for my Millennium frame early enough that they'll come. I don't know.
Ah, yes, that's one thing that's true, because the size of it, and it's good that you mentioned it, because I'm looking at my scroll frame now and it's pretty big, but I don't know if it's that big. So I might have to order a frame as well. So I'm glad you mentioned that.
So that's it. So Stitch Along starts June 6th. Obviously, we'll talk about it several times between now and then. There'll be a Facebook group. We'll post about it on our Instagram, on our Facebook page, on our website page, same for Kim at Sassy Jacks. But so we hope it'll be a gigantic Stitch Along with a lot of participants and enough notice here to get your materials and get lined up and get ready to go. And it'll be just fun to watch people progress through the sampler and see where people start and what ones they, what motifs they enjoy. And it's got quite a border to it too. If you've looked, it's a beautiful border. I love the satin bands around the flowers and.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So you have to promise me though, that we're going to do this. And I really think that Stitch Alongs are going to be a fun thing and a fun new element for Fiber Talk. So next one, we should do a needlepoint one.
Yes.
All right. Yes. You have to promise me. Agreed. That's what we're going to do.
Agreed. We'll do it. That would be fun too. We're going to do a needlepoint stitch along. Yes.
Okay. We're going to choose something a little challenging, a little push people a little bit.
Yep. Stretch
something with some. Mm-hmm. Yep. Definitely. And that I think will be tremendously fun too. So yeah, let's add this to our repertoire.
Yep. Yeah. Like why not? Mm-hmm. Why not? Yeah. Okay,
plus,
so
here's
that's
the thing. Before we go, right? Because here's the other element of this, is that now stitching becomes, I'm sorry, I have to stitch for work.
Oh, excellent, excellent play. Oh,
I'm sorry, family. Oh. I can't help you clean the house. I have to stitch for work.
Oh, that did not occur to me. Oh, excellent, excellent.
I can't go rake the leaves. Yep. I have to go stitch for work.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry. Yeah. Laundry will have to wait. Got to stitch. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
I can show you how, but if it's on me, laundry has to wait. Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's excellent. Good play.
Always thinking. Always thinking. All righty.
And then along with it, we had mentioned about a chart giveaway. So,
yes.
So we're going to give away five people can each win their selection of a Hands Across the Sea sampler chart from the inventory. It can't be the Sarah Brazier one because that'll be sold out anyway by the time we do the drawing. I guarantee that. But you'll get to choose from any of the others, which is kind of a nice choice to make. By a long shot. So what you have to do is we're not going to post it. We're not going to have it posted on the website because this is too long. It's not just a contained time frame. So what we're going to do is just send me email, Gary@wetalkfiber.com. Just send email, and all you have to do is say the number of colors that are in the Sarah Brazier chart. And that number is one more than 22 and one less than 24, for those who are wondering. So just that's all you got to do is do a subject line, Sarah Brazier, and then give me the number. But just email it to me. You don't have to post in the reply on the website or anything, and we'll do that. And then that drawing will be, you know, I think we're gonna do the drawing during the wedding on May 19. How's that? During the royal wedding on May 19.
Nobody will pay attention.
I know.
That's okay, because after the wedding, then everybody can tune in and find out if they won.
Right.
Right? It's like a wedding favor.
Right.
For the rest of us.
So the deadline, yeah, for wedding favor. Okay, there it is. So the deadline will make, it's May 19 is the wedding. And so we'll make the deadline midnight Eastern time, May 18. And then we'll do the drawing during the wedding.
Okay.
And then five people will win a wedding favor, party wedding favor. Okay. Okay, I like that. All right.
A wedding favor.
Uh-huh. Excellent. So, you can start sending those in now. Just email. Just make sure the subject line says Sarah Brazier. And just put the number in the body place there, the email body. Just put a number. You don't have to put anything else. And I'll pull your I'll get your email address, and it'll work out just fine. So it's pretty simple to enter, and just give me the number of colors, and then we'll do the drawing. So
yeah. There
you have it. Stitch along with Sassy Jacks and a giveaway of five Hands Across the Sea charts, in addition to the fun of stitching the Sarah Brazier sampler.
Yes. Like I said, we're not going to just do it one way. We're gonna mix it up a little bit. Nicola might be horrified, but I think that's not a bad thing.
There we go. Stir it up. Yep.
Yep.
So pretty excited about all this. This is going to be fun, and fun working with Nicola and Kim on this thing. And yeah, why not? But no, I do like the idea. The next one, the next one's definitely a needlepoint stitch along.
And yes. I am just going to have a ball trying to figure out what we should do. So all of our designer friends, if you have any suggestions or ones that you want to propose, pose as stitch alongs, by all means get in touch. Otherwise, we're going to be thinking about this and figuring out what we want to do, and it'll be what we want to do, what we want to stitch. I certainly have some ideas of things that I would like to do. But yeah, and what I like about that is that gives us lots and lots of leeway to do things very differently.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, that one there, for each of us to do different colorways. Yeah, all kinds of things, yes.
Different colorways, sure, lots of different things. And then, depending on how that goes, whether you like it or not, we're going to do an embroidery one too.
Okay, I'm game.
Just prepare yourself.
I'm game, yep.
Prepare yourself.
As this episode goes live, goes up on the interwebs, I'm in Arizona. Working on my embroidery, so, yep.
All right, yep. Very good, yep. Then.
Bring it on, Christine, bring it on,
all
whatever.
Right. And then someday,
uh-oh,
I'm going to get you to do a stump work one.
Okay, all right, that's fine.
Because you can.
I have no doubt, and then I'm going to turn the tables, and you're going to do hardanger, so.
Uh-huh. Oh, great, okay, good. See, this is excellent, because we're both going to learn so many things.
We are. It's going to be thrilling. All right, so that's it. That's a good deal there. Sarah Brazier sampler, stitch along with Sassy Jacks, and giveaway of five Hands Across the Sea sampler charts. So a lot going on. Very exciting.
Yes.
Now, I want to go to the Jane Woods Chili Hollow Needlepoint Adventure and Treasure Chest of all things that are interesting for needlepoint and needle pointers, because she had a thing some time ago that this had not occurred to me, and this has to do with the crinic spools, those little black spools that have the little pop-up tops. Apparently,
yes, the ones that my dog finds all over the house.
Uh-oh. And then, really?
Well, really what happens is my cats find them, and then they knock them down. It's kind of a collaborative thing. They knock them down, and then my dog eats them.
Eats them?
Well, destroys them with his mouth, her mouth. How's that? It's not a good thing. I'm not saying this is a happy ending here.
This whole, we don't have any pets anymore. And I'm not missing that. No.
Yeah, that part of it is not the happiest part.
Because you got to make sure everything gets put away and.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't have to worry about that.
Okay, so spools. Tell me about spools.
So apparently, people have used rubber bands to hold the thread on the spool.
Why?
Well, that was my first question. I was surprised that it even came up. Because the spool has a pop top, and you just put the thread in there and push it back down, and it holds the thread for you. I mean, they're designed to be all self-contained and beautifully done. But apparently people...
I didn't even know that. So I always treated them like regular thread spools, so you just thread it into that little groove at the top.
Oh,
I didn't realize they pop open.
Yes. No,
I
there you go.
Something.
See,
yeah.
That's
okay.
Why we bring these things up, because just when you think everybody knows it, you discover a whole bunch of people don't.
Yeah. So. No, but they're really easy to keep neat.
Yeah.
That's one of the things I like about them, is that you can just wind them back up and they're self-contained and nice, and I love those. Okay, so go ahead.
Yeah, so pull that top up and it gives you a place to put the thread, push it back down, mm-hmm. and it stays where it is. So anyway, people have apparently been using rubber bands. And on the Krynek site, you don't do that because whatever's in the rubber bands will damage your thread.
Right. It's probably going to interact with the metallic element.
Yeah. Sulfur and also. Sulfur compounds in the rubber bands mm-hmm. Will do that. So don't do it. And then that suggests to me just keep rubber bands away from all your threads. If they're going to leach sulfur, that's not generally good. So...
Yeah, I don't know that they would have much to, I would think, I'm going to guess, that it's going to be an interaction with the metallic types of elements. I don't know they would do anything with it, but yeah, why would you do that otherwise? There's other ways to do things.
Yeah.
If I was going to do, honestly, if I was going to do anything, if you need something like that, use a hair elastic, right? There's plenty of ones that are basically stretchy ribbon with a knot in them. So they're elastic. They're not like the rubbery kind. And you can use those, and they're not, I think they're less damaging, I would guess anyway.
Yeah. Because rubber bands are one of those things, long ago when I was young, kid, whatever, rubber bands were made out of rubber.
Yeah.
And they lasted forever. And over the years, I don't know what they make them out of these days, but I don't think it's a whole lot of rubber. And, rubber bands don't hold up as well. They break easier. They just aren't as, like back in the day when they made them right. they aren't like that. So it raises the question of just what's in those things chemically. And then if it's going to leach out, I'd be careful about putting them around anything that we want to keep long term. But that just surprised me, that people would put rubber bands around those spools because they're designed so you don't have to do that.
Yeah.
So.
And as we're talking, I was thinking, oh, you know what, though? If I can catch them when they're empty before my pets get them, they would actually be good for storing other threads that are not as easy to store because they wrap so nicely. So things that are on cards, maybe,
yes.
You know,
mm-hmm.
like something like neon rays or something like that that get kinks in them. I could rewrap them around a Krynek spool.
Right.
I'm just wondering, I'm thinking about storing them because the neon rays, the cards lie flat and they're easy to store that way. But yeah, to move them over onto Krynek spools, that might be a thing to think about. Worth trying anyway. I might regret it and move everything back, but
Yeah.
Or, you know, even, yeah, I guess so. That might be something to think about.
Speaking of spools, I'm gonna bring three different things, I think, here together in one thing. This is out of left field, completely, like way out in the corner of left field. We had, at our church, they closed the K-8 school. And recently, they had a sale of just all the things that were in the classrooms that, you know, don't throw them away, let's at least get a buck for them. And so I didn't have any interest because just don't want to accumulate more stuff. But I just walked through on the tables. I found a bag of little wooden spools for sewing thread that were empty, and I'm sure were bought for science class of some kind, elementary science class. So for a quarter, picked up this bag of spools. And what caught my eye on them is I thought I could take, and here's where it came together. Nicola Parkman did a, is it the Sarah Larkworthy? Yes, I believe it is, and I probably don't have that name right. Her sampler, Nicola did a practice thing where she made a spool. You could stitch a spool just on cloth. You know, it's just what looks like a spool, and then stitch some flowers sticking out of that. So I saw those spools, and I immediately thought, wait a minute, I could take one of these spools and wrap thread around it to give it some color, and then I could make two or three flowers, on wire.
Mm-hmm. Like wired slips?
Yes. Yeah, that was the term I was after, wired slips. I could make two or three flowers and stick them in and glue them into these little spools and have cute little flower things.
Flower things.
I don't have a name for my creation.
I like it. You know, and so then as you're thinking, I'm like, oh, that's a really good idea. You could stick a little magnet on the back and use them as refrigerator magnets, although they might get dirty. They might be, as we were talking, we had a whole conversation recently about drinking and stitching. And my husband is a big wine drinker, so... As we're moving house and doing things, he's showing me bags upon bags of corks. Saying, you could make something out of this, right? I think we can. And there's always, you know, if you look on Pinterest, if you're a Pinterest person, there's always 8 million things you can make out of corks. But you could do the same thing with wine corks. And then you could combine your whole stitching. And remember, Mary Corbett was... stitching eggs and pieces of wood and all of those things. I don't recall anyone stitching corks yet.
Well,
why not?
There you go.
And is there, okay, so here's a question. Is there any reason why you could not store a needle in a cork? Would that dull the needle? Like use it like a pincushion?
I don't know why not. I mean, if it's natural cork.
Right. So if you had a pretty little cork that had a magnet on the back or something that you could attach to your stand, then you could have a drinking, stitching needle holder.
A new cottage industry just for you. In your spare time.
I'm just sitting on 4,000 corks. I'm trying to figure out what to do with them.
There you have
something
it right there.
Something that's not on Pinterest. So.
Yeah. Stump. Yeah, and you could do a stump work flower out of it or something. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that would actually be fun. I like that idea. But the spools is kind of nice, too, because it fits into that whole... like there's a lot of very sort of country type stitching.
Yes.
You know, the other thing you could do is you could stitch a little sleeve for it out of canvas, and you could do like, you know how like the needlepoint belts and things like that are, those sorts of patterns and stuff. Mm-hmm. You could do something very easily that way. And then I don't know what you would do with it. You could make a magnet out of it, an ornament out of it.
Okay. There we have it. A whole bunch of ideas. No charge. And you have a cottage industry. Start lining up those start lining up those corks. Here we go.
I'm sure there's people dying for embroidered corks.
Yes. Yeah. There's 20 people who woke up this morning. Oh, if I just had an embroidered cork.
I know. You know what this is? This is the new crocheted toilet paper holder. Remember those? The dolls? Yes,
there you go. Yeah.
The ubiquitous pink or yellow or blue doll, the crocheted doily doll that sat on the back of a toilet that covered the toilet paper that was the same color as the doll, because of course you had to have colored toilet paper.
Yes.
That's this. That is the exact item. And this is what I run into a lot with stitching and pretty much any kind of craft. There's a lot of crafts that I like to do, that I want to do, but then they make something that I would never want to own. And so that's the thing, is I always struggle. There has to be something where I want to make it, but then I also want to own it. So reproduction samplers is sort of that border for me. To do one is fine, but then if I keep doing them and I fill my house with reproduction samplers, before long, I look like I'm living in a Victorian house, and I don't want to do that. So, and that's just a personal thing. That's nothing against samplers or choice, right? So it's this balance between wanting to make something because it's enjoyable to make, and then figuring out what exactly do I do with this thing that I made. So I think the cork, the embroidered cork thing might be one of those things.
But there are people who woke up this morning and just their lives would change if they had one. So
no, there aren't.
No, you don't think so?
No, okay. No, I don't.
Okay. All right.
I don't.
All right. Fine. I think it's a brilliant idea if you do it.
I'll tell you what. You ask Marga how often she's woken up wishing she had an embroidered...
I don't have to.
Exactly.
I don't have
exactly
to.
Exactly my point.
I don't have to. No. So, okay. There we have it. So, anyway, that's what I'm going to do with the spools. I'm going to make little stump work flower vases out of them.
I like that idea, though.
If I know me, I've got about 30 of those spools, and I'll probably make one.
Yeah, but that's all you really need. You need a couple of them to make a little montage, and that's all.
Okay. All right, that's what I need, yes. Mm-hmm.
Montage is probably not the right word. Words aren't my thing lately, but you know what I mean. I don't know if it's the right word. Like a group.
A grouping. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, what I'll make out of them is Christmas tree ornaments.
Yes. See, I think that would be really good, because then, you know, there's so many different things you can do with Christmas tree ornaments.
Right. So that's what I'll do. Okay. Mm-hmm. There's my plan. I'll put that on the list. It's a long list.
Mm-hmm. It is a long list, but those are also good travel projects.
Yes. Yes. Throw them in a little bag, carry them away. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So get working on those embroideries so that you can do, wired slips easily, because they're a little trickier.
Okay. I'm on it. One other thing that we've been carting around on our list of things to talk about that we're running out of time already. If you go to the Jane Wood Chili Hollow thing, and I have a link, there are Learn to Embellish a Painted Canvas. And there's a part one and a part two. And I'll put a link, but Learn to Embellish. And there's a bunch of tips for embellishing painted canvases that are really, I think they're helpful, not just for painted canvases. But I'll just read one. I'll just read it. So pick your focal point, the thing or things you want to emphasize. The way I pick mine is to put my canvas away where I can't see it and then draw what I remember about it on paper. I'm not very good at drawing, but don't have to be. All you need to do is roughly sketch out what you remember. My focal point will be the parts I remember. This personalizes your canvas to some extent. None of us will remember a canvas exactly the same way or stitch it the same way either. But I thought that was just brilliant.
Yeah, that is. That's a really clever idea.
Because it doesn't have to just be needlepoint or a painted canvas. Take that with an embroidery piece. Do the same mm-hmm. thing.
Yep.
How am I going to choose my colors? Yes.
How are you choosing your colors, or if you're doing embroidery, what things are you going to pad or raise?
Yes.
You know, so that they have dimension. What things are you going to add a different type of fiber so that they have a sheen so they stand out? You know, there's lots of different ways to make something have the eye drawn to it.
I thought it was an excellent tip.
Yeah, that really is. It really is. Because it tells you exactly what the piece is about, too, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yes, yeah. So go Jane Wood. Yay.
That's smart. A good one. That's a really smart idea.
And there's a bunch of other tips. It's a really good place. So go to use the link on the page for this week's show and go visit that at the Chili Hollow Jane Wood needlepoint adventure thing. And just really good. And there's all kinds of other ones. So, all right, we got to wrap up. Sunday from the Unbroken Thread, Kathy Andrews, embroidery. Oh, talent. Talent and then some, embroidery person.
Not to miss.
Yes. We had what a blast it was talking to her. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Not to miss at all. Just super fun and learn a ton. Definitely not to miss.
Yeah, it was halfway through the show where I'm making a note. She's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, repeat mm-hmm. guest, no doubt. Mm-hmm. So that'll be Sunday. Get your Sarah Brazier charts and things and get ready for the big stitch along. And we'll have more information the next Wednesday on that. More detail. Get the Facebook thing set up and get ready to do this. It's going to be fun. Yep.
It is going to be fun. Looking forward to it.
That's it. Thanks for listening. Kathy Andrews Sunday. We'll be back next Wednesday.
Take care.